Thank you, Mr. Connors. It definitely is the highlight of our board meetings. I am very pleased to ask Mr. William Bernhard, principal of Gelinas Junior High School, to join us at the podium. Mr. Bernhard is going to present an award to one of our students, and I'm going to we are extremely proud of this moment. Some of you may have read over the summer that one of our students actually had the State Education Department change their decision on one of the questions on the geometry regions. So, Mr. Bernhard?
Yes, good evening, everyone. I wanted to flash back just for a moment to the year 2010. In 2010, a teacher, Mrs. Barbara Robertson, she had come to me with an error on the Algebra 2 trigonometry regents exam. And there were two mistakes already, and we had to throw two questions out. And that year, to my shock, there was this mistake. And I had called the state, and they had said they would not change the answer. That even though the mathematics was behind me, they said there was nothing that they could do, and the students should choose the best incorrect answer. We had gone to, yes, it was amazing. We had gone to Newsday and John Hildebrandt. We had gone to the to some of the state representatives, and I spoke to the state. We had a very active campaign, and we were unsuccessful in getting that score to change. Many students around the state scored 64 and would fail that regents, despite the fact that the math and the facts were on our side. Now, fast forward to 2017, 7 years later, I'm in my office, and I receive a note from the Catalfo family, Benjamin Catalfo and his dad. They send me a note, and they say that there's a mistake with question number 24. I said, this can't be. The geometry regents just threw out two questions. They said that they were erroneous, and they had to be discounted. The test was over. The regents were graded. It was all over. I looked at it. I knew Ben. Ben was always exceptional in mathematics. He was double accelerated. I looked at it in disbelief. There were absolutely no answers to the question, and no one had spotted it before. At that point, I consulted with my colleague, Mr. Donald Ambrose, who was the chairperson of the high school. He agreed, and we found again that there was no answer. So deja vu for me. We were about to go on the same campaign all over again. We spoke to John Hildebrandt. We spoke to representatives around the state. There was a little bit of a difference this time, a little bit of a difference. I think between 2017 and 2010, social media was perhaps a little bit more exponential. This time we got some national attention where Ben was getting calls from ABC News and Good Morning America, and even professors from Stanford were writing to me. Ben at that point decided to launch a campaign online, an online petition. Now it's very interesting to note that we, the last time, did not do a petition. And one of my colleagues at the university, she refused to sign the petition. And she believed, she knew that the math for Benjamin was right, because she thought that the truth should stand on its own two feet, that the math was right and someone should vindicate these students based on the correct mathematics. But Ben knew otherwise. He knew that he had to combine not just his mind, but also his voice to make people understand what the truth is. And it's unfortunate that in this day and age that the truth in and of itself cannot always stand for itself. It sometimes needs an advocate. And this time, Ben was successful in doing something that I was not successful in doing in 2010. He was able to get the state to change the scores through his staunch advocacy for mathematics. So for that, I definitely applaud Ben and his efforts for what he did. And all of the students from the state of New York, the Three Village community, and the mathematics community at large is indebted to you for really, really making change through your mind, your voice, and your passion. So congratulations, and thank you for an incredible summer. Thank you. Come on up.
Very proud of you.
And Mr. Bernhard, congratulations to you for also being a great student advocate. And moving on to our next honoree, we'd like to introduce Dr. Brian Biscari, principal of Minnesaukee Elementary School.
Good evening. I feel like this is deja vu all over again. But I'm here again to present to you in recognition for our wonderful teacher, Ms. Kate Hunter. As you all know, she was nominated and selected as the Suffolk County Teacher of the Year, and then went on to be nominated for the State Award, which she also received, and we went up to Albany to present her with that award. And subsequently, we nominated her for the National Award, and we were very pleased to see over the summer that she was once again granted this honor from the National Councils for the Social Studies, of which they're going to be having a ceremony in San Francisco in early November. So we're honored again, and I know that I've spoken on Ms. Hunter's behalf a number of times, but just want to reiterate what a phenomenal professional she is, that she certainly walks the walk as well as talks the talk. Not only is she keenly aware of the changes within the standards, but she practices what she preaches. She constantly instills civic duty within her students, and especially their responsibility as citizens within her classroom and then within the larger context of their community and their outside world. And she's an advocate for them, and they in turn become leaders for their causes, and we couldn't be more proud for her to represent our school and our district on a national level. So I wanted to congratulate Ms. Kate Hunter on receiving this award.
Certainly very two momentous events, one getting the State Education Department to change their mind, not an easy task, as we all know, and also a national award winner. Two very impressive role models. Thank you both. We're very proud.
I'd like to turn to item 5, which is our first public participation session. This will be up to 30 minutes in length, and we ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Yes, ma'am. Sure, yes, of course.
Good Good evening. My name is Tony Mulgrave Williams. I'm the first of three generations in Three Village. And I'm here to discuss the summer read that was assigned to the eighth graders from Murphy Junior High this summer. And I spoke with Ms. Duffy, Mr. Vizzo, Mr. Scanlon, and Mrs. Pettish about the matter, and I'm still not getting any answers. And so I'm here to open the line of communication that helps educate our community on the way we all should be treated with sensitivity and compassion. My first question is, you know, what was the objective of the English department to issue this book called Leaving Fletchville? Like, and all I keep getting is that it was a bullying book, and it's got nothing, all the discussion once the letter went out about it being ceased had nothing to do about bullying. On my niece's phone, on the chats, it had nothing to do about bullying. So if that was their objective, which we as educators have to be when we assign something, how are they measuring it? Because they missed it completely. Most of them were just worried about the N-word being in there three times. I don't understand how we issued a book with that out and no letter was sent. No, there was no sensitivity. And not just for me as a minority, for all the minorities in our district. I've been here since 1974. And I'm like, with the way the world is today, we should have been way more compassionate and thought, put a little more effort into what we issued out this summer as a summer read. I wanted to know how they wanted to, how they were going to be measured, how the teachers were going to measure the students in this situation. I don't know if they've done any professional development to handle all the topics that went into this book, because this book had so much adversity as far as the stereotyping, the racial slurs in it, so many things in there. And I wanted to know what teacher in this district, or if you guys offered professional development for them to handle the questions that were going to come on the first day of school. Another thing is, when we had our meeting, no one told me that we gave this book out last year as well. So you issued this book last year, and just because no one like myself spoke up about it, we thought, oh, we'll just give it to them again. Did we even not look into what this situation is? And on top of that, I've been here forever. Jelena's didn't offer a summer read. Are our two schools not aligned? Why would Murphy do a summer read and Jelena's not? I don't understand. Like, I've been in education. I've been teaching 20 years. And the way things are going these days, they almost want us to give out the same test so that if a kid transported from Murphy to Jelena's, they're in the same situation. Well, if a kid started in Murphy last year and then decided they moved and went to Jelena's, they didn't even read the book. How did that happen? I don't understand. I've been asking these questions since July, and I'm not getting any answers. And this is not acceptable for a district that I'm so proud to be a part of. The other thing is, why did the administration feel the need to hide? Oh, well, that's what I just talked about, of us issuing the book twice. When all they should have told me at the meeting, I talked to Mrs. Duffy individually, then I talked to Mr. Vizzo individually, and then we had a group meeting, and no one told me that this book was found out. I don't know if you didn't think I was going to find out, because I'm a big part. I am a Hall of Famer in this school. I have been here forever. I started in 74, then the McKinnons went through, the Williams went through, and now the Shields are coming. And so someone has to speak up, and we have to start the communication so that our society can grow, so that the stuff that's going on across the world doesn't happen here, so that we don't turn into Virginia. And little things like this is the little things that started that make Virginia happen. And then it escalates to something crazy like that. In an email response that Mr. Scanlon and Mr. Patterson all sent to Mr. and Mrs. Shields, they stated we would want a staff member to appropriately address the inquiry, hence the professional development training that will take place. So they were saying, like, you know, they'll send a letter out, but we're going to squash this story. But, you know, if a kid asks the question, I would like for my teachers to be able to answer it. They aren't equipped to do that. And I do know some of the teachers because I spoke to them, because I know all of them. They weren't comfortable with it either. Some of the teachers didn't even want it. So I don't understand. Tell me which teachers were equipped to handle these discussions about, like, on page 6, when they say, oh, you're black and you don't play basketball? How is our teachers going to express that? Or on page 79, where the teacher calls out the minority in the book and embarrasses Leon, and he shrinks in the desk. Which teacher was going to be able to discuss that with my niece in the seat and not embarrass her? My niece is in all honors, and she's a great girl walking through these schools. She's on presidential for community service. She plays 3 sports. She is all over the place. And she just got humiliated. In our world, the N-word for my niece hasn't been brought up because she doesn't watch those movies. We parent her. She doesn't listen to that music. We have a choice to turn the channel and turn the music, and we do. But this district issued this and mandated it, and we didn't get a choice. We weren't even informed. And now my niece is put in a position where on the group chat of the night that letter went out, her phone blew up, and her friends had her in the group chat, and they're talking about, I can't believe someone complained, had to be an African-American, she went through all this scrutiny for something that this district put out. She didn't even have any part in it. So now we had to explain to her, we had to teach her something that we really weren't ready for her. We know this is reality, but we felt like in middle school, this was not appropriate. Later on life, maybe. But now we had to address it. Throw your shoulders back. You be proud. And I said, you have nothing to be ashamed of. Go tell your friends it was you and your family that was not happy with it. As a teacher, we're not allowed to curse in class. It's inappropriate. So is this book. It's inappropriate. Just because it is they put it in the movies or something doesn't make it appropriate. If this was a gender bias book, no one would have ever touched it. If they had the word gay or faggot in there, we would have been like, oh my gosh, we can't say those words anymore. But it's okay to throw out a book over the summer with no guidance with the N-word in it that my niece has not even had any addressing to? She had nothing to do with this. And so now, along with my sister, who's friends with just about everybody, and because they play so many sports, it's across the entire district. So it's not that it's just Murphy. Her friends go all the way from Setauket all the way to South Setauket. So it's the entire district that they have to deal with. And so my sister's page of her parents and her friends and her moms, she's all upset because they're saying stuff. And I'm like, we need to have the conversation. We need to have the conversation to say that this isn't right. We have the conversation that where's our English department or you administrator or the board to say, you guys didn't put any time into this book, into the effort of your summer read. And we just threw it out there. And I'm so disappointed. And I could literally go on and on. And I just want to know why. Why did you do this? And where's the sensitivity in this place?
Okay. Thank you for your comments. We anticipated that this topic may be coming up this evening, and I'd like to make a formal statement on behalf of the Board of Education. The summer reading initiative that has taken place at Murphy Junior High School over the past few years was created as an independent enrichment opportunity for our students to remain actively engaged in learning throughout the summer months. Historically, the books selected have been prize-winning works of literature that focus on myriad of themes and messages appropriate to adolescents. While we recognize that many pieces of American literature, including descriptions of actions previously accepted within our society and or on the global level throughout history, our decision to eliminate this year's summer reading project was based on the interest of our students and primarily the connection one aspect of the book had to national events transpiring this summer, events that occurred well after the book was chosen. Our district is strongly committed to creating learning environments that promote acceptance, respect, and inclusivity, as well as a rich curriculum encompassing the literary classics and emerging prize-winning authors. However, We also want to ensure that the introduction of those literary works is accompanied by the proper guidance and oversight of our teachers in order to ensure that our students' educational, emotional, and social needs are being supported. As a result, moving forward, we will provide students and their parents with a list of recommended summer reading. However, any mandatory reading assignments will take place during the course of the school year with appropriate teacher guidance and support. We appreciate and value the support and input of our school community stakeholders and look forward to a year of enriched learning opportunities for all of our students, and so forth.
I have a hard problem with time with that, only because the book was issued last year. And I feel like if I wasn't standing here and if I did not call it, if my sister, my family, if we did not call in July, this would not even be brought up and you would have washed it under the rug like you did last year.
It was not an issue last year, quite frankly.
I know, but it
should
have been.
Not an issue last year. And not only that, it's a prize-winning book.
It's
an excellent book.
I understand that.
And very age-appropriate.
I understand that. No, here's my thing. There's a lot of books that are... that are prize winning, but still inappropriate for eighth graders. And so just because it's a prize winning book, and mind you, that prize was a Canadian nominee. It didn't win. It's a Canada. It was a prize. It was the name in Canada. That whole thing took place in Canada, and it was recognized in Canada. That was not an American nominee, for one. Right. And for two, if we didn't step up, you think that just because it's a prize award nominee, it's acceptable? Is it okay because it was a nominee?
Thank you for coming.
I'm just saying.
We normally spend 3 minutes, per person. I really appreciate it. We've gone. We're not going to get into a question and answer type of thing. If you'd like to meet with the superintendent, I believe you were supposed to have a meeting the other day and canceled it.
I was calling because I wanted to get the answers. Like, can you just one question? Please just tell me what the objective was for this book.
To have the students read during the summer. That was the objective.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time? Turning to item 6, the minutes of August 23rd, 2017. May I have a motion on that, please?
So moved.
Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Germano, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to reports, our student representative report. How you doing? Good.
I'm just gonna talk quick about sports. So over the weekend on Friday, I believe the varsity football team played Connectquot and they lost in overtime. There was 3 interceptions, and then they missed a 2-point conversion, and they also missed 2 field goals, so unfortunately they lost in overtime. And then today we had a girls' volleyball. I'm not sure who they played exactly. They won, and then we had girls' field hockey who played, and they won 6-0. And then also girls' soccer played today, and they won.
Very good. Thank you very much. Mr. Scanlon, if you could introduce the next topic.
So about a little over a year ago, we had taken a look at the elementary curriculum in both ELA and mathematics and decided that we needed to make some changes given some of the resources and the state standard changes that have been occurring. We have now moved on from Common Core standards to Next Generation standards, and we were very lucky to have Dr. Lillefoy available to work with a committee of teachers throughout the district for the past year and really hone in on some of the things that we've redeveloped for the district. So this was a very daunting task considering the scope of what was needed to be accomplished, and what we'll be shortly presented with by Dr. Lillefoy is probably one of the most comprehensive curriculum plans that we have developed in this district for a particular course of study. So without further ado, I'll introduce Dr. Lillivant to go over the presentation of our materials.
Good evening, members of the board. What Kevin did not tell you is that as I was finishing and putting the last dot in the last position, the state, of course, in their infinite wisdom, decided to make some revisions to the math curriculum. So we had to actually update it at the very end of in May. Let me just get this up. So basically what you see here is the second iteration of our curriculum. The first, of course, being the traditional white binder of documents, which we have. However, in looking at the work that we need and what we need to be able to do as teachers in classrooms and moving into the 21st century with digital technology and everything else, I thought that this was a better resource. This served as a resource for teachers in terms of how they can integrate the work they need, come together, bring resources right, you know, at the fore, and be able to use them in the classroom directly. So the beginning of this contains our philosophy, vision statement, and mission statement. And I'm just going to, you know, jump around a little bit. And one of the things I did was coordinate all of that so that, and start to make it a little more interactive so that you're not just constantly reading from page to page, because that's really what was happening. So the fundamental goals of the district are that the curriculum and instruction program shall enable students to be, and these are the things that we'd like our students to be. Skilled problem solvers, perceptive thinkers, quality producers, lifelong learners, and self-directed learners. So that's just one component of the home section with the philosophy and vision statement. What's more attractive for the teachers to use is actually the section on math, because I focused mostly on the math for this last year, and this year I'll be working on the ELA. So in the math section, what I did was organize all of the different domains by grade, and a teacher can go into their grade level, see the focus areas, which you have some examples in your handout. So for example, in grade one, this is the home page for grade one, and each of the areas that they're responsible for, each of the domains is covered, as well as what the focus areas are for that particular grade. So in a short version of the New York State document, appears in the focus area for every grade. So this is what you would see for every single grade. And it would be specific and progressive as you go up through each of the different grades. So for example, in grade one, these are the different domains that they're responsible for. So in any one of these domains, you can go in and you're going to find the resources specific to that grade and that domain. So this is grade one, operations and algebraic thinking, and all of the resources that are in this particular page are aligned to the New York State curriculum as of May 2017, including, but not limited to, all of our Go Math resources that are right at the top. So no matter where a teacher goes across this website, they can go to their particular grade and the particular topic, and they'll be able to use the actual Go Math resources that are tied to it, and the chapters are actually listed at the bottom of the Interactive Student Edition. It will take you directly to those chapters, and also any other resource that's listed on the page. So we have here, you can see the Go Math E-Planner for Teachers is all the chapters, but the chapters that are listed in the Interactive Student Edition are actually the chapters related to operations and algebraic thinking. And that got that theme goes through all of the different grades and all the different domains. Some of the other things I incorporated were the Go Math podcast that are part of the Go Math program that we purchase for teachers. Illustrative Math provides very specific examples of tasks, so that for grade one, it breaks it down exactly into an activity that is representative of that particular domain and that particular skill. So not only can teachers go to that one skill, it also explains the answer and how the answer addresses the standards. And then there are a whole bunch of other examples they could use. So I selected one, so at least the teacher has one example, but then they can look at a number of other examples on the different topics. IXL has a similar sort of is a similar sort of website. It provides resources for teachers on different levels. New York based. It actually, you can go to any state and find the exact information. But I have everything tied to New York, and again tied directly to that particular domain that you're looking for. So what's nice about this particular site for teachers is that it gives them all of the different standards are listed, and then specific parts of that standard are broken down, add with pictures, addition sentences, etc. And if you click on any one of these, it would give you a specific example. So it gives you a skill preview example of exactly the type of question that would meet that particular skill. So teachers can write other examples that match that. So it keeps the teacher really on target in terms of focusing on specific skills in specific domains for each grade. Another feature that I added was a math resource page that actually has resources that are generalized P through 8. So on the math P8 page, you'll see some of the same resources as well as some additional ones that teachers can use. Those won't take you directly to a grade level, but if you needed additional resources, you can certainly go to any one of these sites and look up what you're looking for, either by name, by grade, by domain. And some of them require the teacher to log in separately, because within that site, you're able to collate resources that you like or that you prefer or that you're looking for. So for example, this is Math Antics. The video lessons are all free. If you want the actual written exercises, examples, and worksheets, you would need a subscription. But all of these videos are free, and they're sort of a user-friendly version of the Khan Academy. So again, I added this in. It's listed by main areas: fractions, geometry, percents, and algebra basics. So teachers can use this and find things, you know, right away that are able to support instruction. I think that's basically it. On each page, we have like this floating goddess suggestions box. So if a teacher comes up with something as they're working, they can click on that. It comes up with a little sheet that says, I've got a great idea. They can put their name, send me a message. We can either incorporate something if they have a new website they'd like to see added, or if they have a question about something that's not working properly. So that comes directly to our email address, and then I can address it. It's very easy to just send it right back. And those are the major components. On the pages that are tied to the content and the practices, all of the state resources are listed at the bottom. So if you wanted to see specific guidelines or specific standards, I don't know which one, what do you want to call them today? So the Aim High standards are the first to appear. Let me just bring you to that page so you'll be on the same page. So on the bottom of the content and the practice pages, you would find all of the different resources that are related to the actual the standards themselves. So the Aim High New York is the revised May 2017. Illustrative Math IM It shows content standards with resources as well as activities, skills, et cetera. CCSI is the original Bad Word Common Core State Standards Initiative. That's why it's kind of sandwiched in the middle if you really want to go back and see that one. Engage New York was the one just before Aim High, and Project Learning is another resource where the chart just above it that shows the content progressions, that's explained really well in that particular resource. So it took a lot of time just to find the right types of resources that would be useful for different things, and then find a way to embed it into a system that teachers can use easily. Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent job. Any questions from my colleagues at all? Anybody? Thank you so much.
Thank you. I would just like to really commend Dr. Lillebois. This has been a monumental task, and although it's probably difficult to see tonight all of the work that went into this, to pull all of these resources together, and not only that, to make it interactive where it's very teacher usable, is just phenomenal. So this has been truly a commendable work.
Done an outstanding job.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Turning to item 8D, policy information, second reading. I'm going to turn this over to Mrs. Gish, who chairs the policy committee. We discussed these, had a first reading at our last meeting. Now we're going to have a second reading and possibly vote on it.
Okay. All of these policies, really, any changes, really are required by statute. So you'll see on your pages the things that are written in blue are really things that we had to incorporate into our policies. The only exception is 1741. I'd like to bring your attention to that one on homeschooled students. The policy committee did not want to make the decision for the board on this, so we brought two different versions for you to look at. One was, it's about halfway down the middle of the policy, where we're discussing participation in extracurricular activities. Now, the board can either permit homeschool students to participate in school-sponsored, non-credit-bearing organized activities such as clubs or bands or music, those kinds of things, or, on the other hand, we can say no, homeschool students are not permitted to participate in these district activities. A case could be made for either one. On the one hand, you have homeschool students. They are our students. They should be able to participate in the same kinds of things that our own students are entitled to. But on the other hand, homeschool students, we may not know them. We don't really have a whole lot of jurisdiction over them. And maybe it isn't such a good idea to have them participate. So it's really open to the board to discuss and to come to a consensus on what you feel we should do in this particular policy.
Even if we approved their participation, it would exclude sports and other interscholastic activities and so forth. Yeah.
And it would exclude also credit-bearing activities, music lessons, participation in band, that kind of thing. It's for clubs, maybe shows, that kind of thing.
Has this been an issue up to this point for those who are homeschooled? Have there been requests that we have denied?
Yeah, to date, there really haven't been any requests. The only request we had was last year. We had a student who is homeschooled as a result of being a professional dancer who wanted to participate in the school prom. And after discussion, Dr. Bauman and I agreed that it would be appropriate to allow the student to participate in the school prom, since it wasn't really by her choice that she was homeschooled, but because she was pursuing a passion that her parents had, you know, supported. And so we felt that it was the right thing to do to allow her to attend the school prom.
How many students are we talking about?
It's approximately mid-20s. There are still a few outstanding requests to intent to homeschool for this year pending.
My colleagues.
What's your...
I do want to point out that regardless of whether a student is registered and enrolled and attends our schools, they are still held to the code of conduct. The code of conduct mm-hmm. applies to everyone, visitors to the school as well as to staff. So the code of conduct would apply if a student, a homeschool student, because we wouldn't be able to, let's say, have a disciplinary consequence. The consequence could be if they're not abiding by the rules of the school, they would be asked to leave. Remember, a co-curricular club doesn't fall under a free and appropriate education. It's a privilege that every student has, including those students that are enrolled in our schools.
Any questions or comments? Should we vote on this? I guess the vote would
well,
be... Go ahead.
I'm thinking we should vote on this policy separate.
That's what we're talking about, just on this particular policy.
Okay.
Is there a sense that we want to avoid a situation where homeschooled students treat it like an a la carte kind of thing? Is that... I mean, what's the... I'm not understanding sort of what's the impetus to providing a limit, you know, to limiting these things to, you know, I'm not understanding the background.
We don't, it's statute, Jonathan. They're not allowed to participate in interscholastic sports or intramural sports. That comes from the state education.
No, I mean the other things.
The like other
the
things?
Part that we're actually deciding on. Like, what's the kind of...
There is, okay. It's up to, it's a local decision.
Okay.
But it needs to be in the policy because this is a legal document.
Yeah. And how did the policy committee feel about it? I mean, I guess you guys had a moment, you know, you
we
guys
talked
had a
about it, but we couldn't really decide what we thought, and we also didn't want to impose our decision
like
on the rest of the board.
Like, why not let them?
Yeah, it seems
okay
to me that, you know, as long as they're good, you know, good kids and stuff, they're not going to create any problems.
I have no issue.
You know, let them. It helps their education.
Right. Yeah. Now, occasionally we have students who are homeschooled,
you know,
for disciplinary reasons.
Makes
that's
them, you know,
they would be
exempted,
right?
No, those students, right, but those are students on home tutoring,
right,
that
gotcha.
The district
that's
places,
okay.
And that would be different.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they should be allowed to participate.
I
okay.
do.
We all agree.
Should we vote?
Right.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Child actors, dancers, what have you, they have no school life. They miss out on everything.
Right.
So I am 100% for it.
Good.
Can we vote on this particular one, just on this, to allow the Dr. Kerman,
second,
Mr. Kornreich? Any further discussion? All in favor, opposed, abstention, it is approved, and so forth.
Now
let's talk about the other five.
The others are all statute. It's not really.
There's no controversy
no.
on that one.
So moved.
Dr. Kerman, second, Mrs. Germano, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed, abstention, motion passes. Okay, turning to item 9, items for board discussion, the Board of Education goals for 2017-18. My recommendation would be to maintain the same goals that we currently have, because I think all of our concerns centered on the four areas of student achievement and engagement, safety and security, budget development, and community engagement. I think we need to certainly update ourselves in each of those areas, but I can't think of any areas that we would need to add to those four categories. So is there consensus on that and so forth? Okay. Okay. Very good. Now, turning to item... Yes, sir.
I'm wondering how many on the board are familiar with what's going on in Massapequa with the moving of the sixth grade into the junior high school and moving the sixth grade out of elementary school. What is the educational benefits, pro and con of that? Because we are, you know, one of the few districts that still have our sixth grade in the elementary school. And I'm wondering if it would benefit our sixth grade students like they're talking about in Massapequa, which is what the Secretary of Education, you know, came in favor of. I'm wondering if it would help our students to move our sixth grade out of the elementary school. And I think we have to discuss that because it would benefit our sixth grade students.
Jeff, how about if we put that on board agenda? Dr. Kerman?
There's plenty of clubs in
elementary. How about if we put that on the agenda for future discussion?
That's fine.
I think it's a very, very, very legitimate issue. If you remember back a goodly number of years ago, we had a forum. I think it was over at Murphy, if I'm not mistaken. It's around 2003, 4, something like that. I'm dating myself. And I had Jim Caden, who was the president of the Nassau-Suffolk School Board Association, as well as the president, he still is the president, of the South Huntington Board of Education. They had just made the transition that year from what we have to the middle school, and they talked about all the advantages and the enriched educational programs and so forth. Personally, and we weren't able to do anything at that particular point because our enrollment at that point was going through the roof. You have to remember, not too many years ago, we had 6,400 students. We put those additions on. We went up to 8,000. Now enrollment is declining. I think we can have that discussion at this point. I think it would be a good discussion to have. Thank you for bringing it up, Jeff.
I have an opinion about it, but it's an utterly unqualified opinion. So I think that before we have any discussion, I mean, I heard a conversation the other day. A school administrator was talking about how he had, in the junior high school, how he had separated out the seventh graders from having dances with the eighth and ninth graders because there are significant developmental differences between the seventh graders and the ninth graders. And so now the seventh, and, you know, that's just something that's just in practice that they've just determined to be practical. So I would definitely, I mean, our opinions are great, but I would certainly like to hear from, you know, our building principals especially, and from
we will put.
Yeah, I do recall that forum that Mr. Connors is speaking about. It was during the administration of Frank Carasetti, and there were at the time focus groups with parents, and many of the parents at that time, I'm going to say the majority of parents at that time, were not in support of placing the students in the sixth grade at the junior high school because of the age concerns. They liked that it was more insulated to have our students in an elementary setting. There are significant advantages to going to a departmentalized setting and also different resources. But at this time, I will tell you that we cannot move the ninth graders to Ward Melville High School. There is simply not enough room. So we would be considering a 6-9 setting in Three Village because unless we look at other kinds of redistricting, and remember that has transportation implications. So this would be something that would need to be studied over a period of time, and I would strongly encourage that we have great community support because I would not want a repeat of what happened in Massapequa.
Absolutely.
On any level.
No. All right. That was a no-win situation.
And since we're all just chatting here about making data-driven decisions, you know, I think that the research is really starting to pile up about later start times for the for older kids, and I know that we look at it from time to time, but you know, I just personally I'm unconvinced that that it couldn't be made to work here effectively.
Well, I think it could work if all of our students don't participate in any sports, right? So that's
not a problem.
They do it in Jericho,
but they don't participate at the level that Three Village participates. I just have to say that we would need other school districts to be on board with us so that the participation level will be different. We did study this several years ago. I believe it was in 2010. And after a year of studying it, the community, both elementary and secondary, did not feel it was feasible for a number of reasons. But, of course, you know, things can always be relooked at.
Yeah, I think for us to do it in isolation would be a mistake. But if regionally we could get it together, I think the kids would benefit. Do they address that in the research?
I think it was addressed back at the time. It was on the same time, so I recall getting some information about it, and that was a concern for a lot of parents. Because they come home late as it is, and then many of them, they're doing things in school and outside of school. Right. So my son will come home from football, eat quickly, do as much homework as he can, and go play CYO basketball. Okay. It's a lot to consider, and that's just...
There are so many issues. There are so many issues.
I just think we have to be cautious about taking on too much to explore all at once. So I think we should prioritize that. That's just my recommendation.
Good. Absolutely. Okay. Turning to item addenda E1. The secret determination in connection with the 2017-18 capital improvement projects. May I have a motion on that, please?
So moved.
Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to item E2, the approval of the side letter agreement between the Three Village School District and the Three Village School Administrators Association, the TVSA employee named in the attached confidential. Mr. Kornreich?
Second.
Second, Mrs. Gish. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. And turning to item E3, the approval of the memorandum of agreement between the Three Village School District and the Three Village Clerical Unit. May I have a motion on that, please? Mr. Kornreich? Second, Mrs. Gish. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Okay, turning to item ten, items for board action. F, personnel matters, instructional. May I have a motion on that, please?
So moved.
Mrs. Gish, second. Mr. Kornreich. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Dr. Okay, good. Thank you. Turning to personal matters, non-instructional. May I have a motion on that? Mrs. Gish, second. Anybody? Second. Mr. Kornreich. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to G, the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education, the Subcommittee on Accommodations 504 plan meetings for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Regalia. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. And turning to H, the recommendations of the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the meeting dates state. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Bublinka. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to item 11, informational items of interest. Are there any items that we'd like to bring to the board's attention? Yes, sir.
I have a acquaintance of mine who is a guidance counselor in Syosset, and they just ran a program this past summer called the College Boot Camp. So I was talking to our superintendent about it. We already run that program, which is very, very interesting because this thing got very, very big publicity in Syosset. They actually charge the kids about $325 to do what we're doing here for free, which is basically helping these kids with their college applications as rising seniors. And I thought it was a great idea, and now I heard that we already do it, so I want to commend our district for doing it already. And I thought it was, you know, pretty good. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kerman. Our focus has been on, you know, writing the college essay. But the application process, I will say, really begins in our school district in 11th grade. And there, every single junior is required to have an individual meeting with the guidance counselor. By the time they're seniors, they've already started that process. And that has been going on for a period of time in Three Village.
Anyone else? Turning to 12, our second public participation session. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing none, do I have a motion for adjournment? So moved. Dr. Kerman, second Ms. Lubinka. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.